Amen. Well, it's good to be here. I'm glad you come out this morning, and I trust God will bless you and speak to us today out of His Word. And if He does that, then we couldn't ask for anything more. Now, am I all okay? Is sound okay? All right. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, I had a good time up in Colorado. We had the best weather you could ever have for a short meeting. It was sunshiny every day, got up into the 70s, and the only rain that came was came one night. And I didn't even know it rained, but I got outside the next morning and it was wet on the ground out there. So God was really good to us. The meeting went off real good. We had a fantastic crowd, especially on Sunday morning. A lot of people that I used to pastor up there had moved to other places, and they heard I was going to be there, so they came in for the service, and we just had a good time. God bless with a young Spanish girl, 20 years old, got saved, and she was one happy girl, I'll tell you for sure. And then they had a couple join the church, and it was just a good meeting for a short meeting, and I appreciate my son inviting me to come up. And I don't know if I'll get ever go back again, because I've noticed that I've been preaching every 5 years up there. That means I'd be 90 years old if I go back next time and everything. So it was good, and my son treated me really nice. Since he can't hear this, I'll say it. He gave me the best offering I've ever received from him. Amen? It was more than enough to take care of all the expenses and then enjoy myself a little bit too. Amen. All right. I'm glad to be here though, and I hope I can be a good servant this morning of the Lord and be a blessing to you. You know, there's something I've noticed, and you may have noticed this also. I really believe that God's people need to come to the place where they understand, you know, what salvation really is. You know, most of the time we think, well, I'm not going to hell. And that's a good thing. I mean, nobody wants to go to hell if you're in their right mind. But salvation means a lot more than you just not going to hell. Salvation means you're going to heaven. And that's far better, I'll tell you for sure. And I'm glad this morning that my sins have been forgiven. And that's what I want to title this sermon today, Forgiveness. And what that really means and the blessings that come towards us because we are forgiven. Now, I'm going to ask you the question. You don't have to answer out loud. But what does it mean to be forgiven? Well, the literal meaning of forgiveness is to send off or to send away. The meaning is to separate the sinner from his sin. And we know that happened because God placed our sins on Jesus Christ when he was nailed to that old rugged cross. And on that cross, he paid for my sins and your sin. So that's what it means. It means to send them away. When you got saved, your sins were sent away. You were separated from your sins, and that's a wonderful thing. When a person receives Christ as their Savior, he or she is forgiven by the means of transfer. You see, our sins had been transferred over onto someone else, and we know that someone else is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, church, please hear what I'm about to say. You know, don't let anything pass you by, especially if you've got good ears. Sometimes I sit here in the church and I miss things in the service because my hearing aids don't pick it up. And so I miss that. And I have to go back and listen to maybe the own CD before I pick that part up. But hear what I'm about to say. Forgiveness is not a byproduct of Christ's salvation, and it's not a product of one's work. You cannot earn salvation. You cannot pay for salvation. You don't have enough money, and you can't do enough good works in order to justify yourself. All of us know this verse right here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice those words, justified by faith. Literally, this is saying because we have been justified by faith, that means it's all of God. Where is your part in there? You know, the Bible has a verse that says, this is the works of God that you believe. So it's not by your baptism, it's not by your giving, it's not by your works, but my friends, we're justified by faith. And God is the one that should get all the praise and all the glory for your salvation. And you should give Him all the glory. Now keep in mind, peace with God is not a feeling. That's where a lot of people go wrong. They think, well, I've got to feel something. I've got to feel something. Well, that's not true. You see, salvation is not by feeling, but peace with God is a standing. We are saved because the Word of God says we're saved. We're not saved because we feel like we're saved. We're saved because God's Word says that we are saved by the grace of God. Now, a number of times we are told that lost men, and I've said this before in sermons, and people actually get mad at me for saying it. You see, lost men are an enemy of God. Think about that. If you're in this building, whether you know it or not, you are an enemy of God. If you're saved, you're a friend of God. You're a son of God. You're a child of God. But if you're lost, you're an enemy of God. Listen to the first part of Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, that's before one is saved, my friends, God is telling us there was a time in all of our lives when we were an enemy of God. But thank God, because of salvation, we are now in the family of God. Now let's read a little scripture here. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read, and I better put my glasses on. I always should put them on before I come out here. But listen now to verse 5. Listen to verse 5 down to verse 7. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and had raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Now I want to go to one more verse I want you to look at, and this is in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Now listen, this would sort of be our text, you might say. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's more. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This verse begins with the word blessed there. That's a very important word. What it actually means is worthy of praise. I think we all would agree that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, they all three, which are one, but yet all three of them deserve worthy of praise. When God blesses man, He confers benefits upon him. I have received many benefits from God. I have been blessed by God in a great way. And my friends, when I bless God, I'm attributing, my friends, praise unto Him. I'm talking about how wonderful He is, how great He is, how marvelous He is, and we should do that from time to time. Hallelujah. Now, when did God do all this work about benefits? Probably in eternity past. Now, well, let us read in Ephesians chapter 1, and this will be verse 4 and 5, I believe it is. Ephesians chapter 1. Here's what it says. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together by Christ. By grace ye are saved. Now that's what has happened when I put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice something. Question, where are these blessings that God has for you and I? Where are they located? Where are they at? Are they in a warehouse over in Dallas? No. These blessings are in heaven. That's where those blessings are. And so if we're going to be blessed of God, they have to be sent down unto us. So our Bible says in heavenly places, that simply means heaven. Now, church, understand, heaven is where your citizenship is. It's where my citizenship is. It says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. Heaven is where our high priest is. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, seeing then that you have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Also, our hope is in heaven. Listen to this verse right here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. The word hope there stands for salvation, because that's what we are hoping for. We're hoping for. Now notice the word of truth of the gospel. Paul is here saying, this is the truth, not like the false teachers with their vain deceit. Our inheritance is in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The Christian's treasure is in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Also, heaven is where our affection should be. Now, you know it's true, I know it's true, that lots of people, their affection is on the things of this world. They desire the pleasures of the world. They seek the pleasures of the world. But the Bible tells us, listen now, he says, if ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. The Greek is literally saying here in this verse 2, set your mind on things above. You and I, every day, in any situation, we should set our mind on heaven. We should constantly be thinking about heaven, because the more we think about heaven, the more that we realize that we need to live like we're children going to heaven. Now, church, let us not be preoccupied with this world. Or you know what will happen? When you get preoccupied by this world, then those things that you are occupied with, they will be above Christ. In other words, in a sense, they will be like an idol. And so we're not to be preoccupied with this world. We are to say, we're not of this world. We are on a child of God that's on our way to heaven, and that's what we're occupied with. Our thoughts should be about heaven. I said all this to say our spiritual blessings will be given to us as needed. Now that should be a very important statement to every child of God. Listen to it again. Our spiritual blessings will be given to us as needed. Or we could say it a different way. As our walk with God requires. As our walk with God requires. You know, I know America's in a lot of fear right now because of this epidemic that's spreading all over the world. But I want to tell you something, dear friends. God is bigger than that virus. God is bigger than that. And I pray that none of us will catch it, but I'm trusting God, and I trust you're trusting God. And if we can get a hold of this, do you understand? You can tap into your blessings now. That's what we do, my friends, in many situations, but you can tap in to the blessings of God. Oh, how the church needs to get a hold of that truth right there in this day and time, under the situations that we're going through and the turmoil that's in this world. We need to get a hold of the fact that we have a God, that He looks down on us, He knows our needs, and He can give us our blessing. We can pray for His protection. We can pray for His care. We can pray for our provision, and we have a God that can provide that if we just understand it, that He has heavenly blessings for each of us. Now, the problem many of us have, and I'm talking about myself too, the problem that many of Christians have is the fact that we just do not, and I'm going to hurt your feelings, we do not trust God. That's why we go around with worry all the time. That's why we go around with fear all the time. Because you see, worry is the same as fear. And so we don't need to do that. The truth is we're all guilty to some degree of worrying and fretting and unstable in that situation. There are some verses in Matthew chapter 6 that all of us need to read. So I'm going to have you turn over to Matthew chapter 6, if you don't mind. And I'm going to read some of these verses to you here in Matthew chapter 6. Now come down with me, if you don't mind, into verse 28. Verse 28. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father, notice that, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think personally you and I need to read those verses just about every day because of the situations we see in the world, the situations that we sometimes let it depress us and affect us. We need to read these verses right here as a priority in our life, because these verses will help you as you go through this life. Notice the three words, seek ye first. Now, I've always placed a lot of emphasis on that word first. In my sermons in the past, the Holy Spirit told me to look at that word seek. And you know what I did? When I thought about the word, I remembered Pastor Knight in one of his sermons talking about this word seek. It's a very important word. Some way, my interest, as I said, was always on the word first. But my friends, if it was not for the seeking, the first wouldn't mean anything. So the priority in you and I is the fact that we need to seek the things of God. We need to seek a closer walk with Him. We need to seek a meaningful experience with Him. We need to trust Him in everything. Instead of you fretting, instead of you worrying about everything, am I going to have food to eat? Am I going to have clothing? Am I going to be able to provide for my children? Am I going to be okay? Am I going to make it? Instead of doing that, what we need to do is seek. Because the Bible says if you seek, then God will provide. So this makes it very interesting. There's an old saying, where God guides, He provides. And I used to say that many times, but I found out that I was leaving something out of that little thought there. Listen to it again. Our Bible tells us very plainly, where God guides, He provides. A better way to say it is, where God guides and we follow, He provides. See, God can guide you, but if you don't follow God's direction, if you don't do what God tells you to do, like coming to church and praying and reading your Bible and giving, if you're not willing to do your part, then my friends, don't expect God to do anything for you, because the Bible tells us very plainly, seek. Now that word seek there is not a once-in-lifetime word. In other words, we don't just say on July the 3rd, we seek God and that's it. No, that word seek has the meaning of continuation every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We are to continually seek God. And when we continually seek God, the Bible says all these things shall be added unto you. If you want God's addition, then you seek God first and keep on seeking God, and the Bible says He will provide. I'll guarantee you, you can understand this. All of you that have children or had children, you provided for them the best you could. If they needed something, you tried to provide it. If they needed some new clothes to go to school with, you went out and you tried to buy them some new clothes. If they needed shoes, you know they need food. You know they need health care. And so you try to provide for them. And the Bible tells us very plain that you and I are the children of God. God is our Father. Don't you think that He wants to provide for us in every situation? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Not only did Paul, my friends, have in the Word of God here the fact that he at one time had been mistreated. Have you ever been mistreated? Actually, in the church even. Have you been mistreated and you got your feelings hurt? Well, listen to what it says about Paul after telling us Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil. Much evil. Boy, that's, you know, I've had some things done against me that I thought they were very bad. And I'm guarantee you, some of you, people have called you a name, or people have looked down on you, or people have despised you, or something like that. Well, Alexander the coppersmith did Paul much, notice, much evil. Not just evil, he did him much evil, the Bible says. In verse 14, here's what it says, "Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our word." That's what he did. Now, notice what happened. "At my first answer, no man stood with me." Have you ever felt like nobody was standing with you? Nobody was there to hold you up, to give you a hand, to bless you and to help you? Well, Paul says, "My first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that that will never be laid to their charge." Paul said, God, don't hold that to their charge. Don't hold that. That sort of reminds you of Jesus Christ. Remember when He was being crucified? He told God not to lay this charge to these people. Don't do that. Don't do that. Notice now in verse 17, "Notwithstanding," here's what Paul says. He said, first of all, nobody was standing with me. But now he says, "The Lord stood with me." That's not all. The Bible says He strengthened me. In Paul's darkest hour, in his time of trouble, his time of hurt, he says, though men may have forsook me, he says, "The Lord stood with me," bless His name, "and strengthened me." Not only did Paul have God stand with him, but He strengthened him in that time of need. I have gone through those kind of times, and I want to tell you this morning on the authority of God's Word, I have never felt like God had forsaken me. I always felt the presence of God when things were not going good. God's presence was real. God's presence kept me going. God's presence kept me looking up. God's presence kept me from getting offended and getting hurt to the place where I give up and fall by the wayside. No, that did not happen. Now, verse 18 of 2 Timothy chapter 4 reads like this. This is a great verse. You might want to turn there. 2 Timothy, and it's verse 4. Well, I don't know. Oh, verse 18, I should say, of chapter 4. Now we read, and the Lord shall. Now, you know, you've heard me preach before. You know that that word shall is one of the most powerful words you'll ever read in the Bible. That's a powerful word. Shall. Listen to it now. And the Lord shall deliver me from the ever evil work and will preserve me unto the heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Oh my goodness, that verse brings comfort to me and strength to me, because I know my God is able to deliver. He's able. Despite his impending execution, Paul was convinced that God would preserve him. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come," verse 39, "nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Isn't that good to know? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. If you've experienced the love of God and you call upon Him to be your Savior, then the Bible says none of these things can separate you. I like especially there in that verse of Scripture where He tells us about the angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. And I like this word right here. Or any other creature. That has reference in my mind to the devil. The devil can't separate you from God. The devil can't take away your salvation. Devil doesn't have that much power. My friends, church, we cannot be separated from God's love, because our salvation is in, not the church, nothing else. Our salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, saying Jesus is more powerful than anything in the world, and nothing can separate me from Him. What a thought that is. If one can lose his salvation, he or she never had salvation. Mark that down. Some people don't like that. They don't like that. But I'm telling you tonight, the Bible says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Who do the sheep follow? They follow the Lord. "And I give unto them eternal life." Who gives eternal life? It's God who gives eternal life. "And they shall never, listen to that again, shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them," that means snatch them, "out of my hand." You can't be snatched out of the Father's hand. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us God is able to complete every good work. You may not like to think about this, but God has a purpose for every one of you in this building. Now, we say, "Oh, Brother Knight has a purpose. He has a purpose." But the truth is, Brother Knight not only has a purpose, but everyone sitting in these chairs in this building right now, you have a purpose for God. God has a reason for saving you. He wants something out of you. He wants you to bring glory to His name. And so I know that the Bible is telling me here that God will accomplish His purpose in my life and in your life. Listen to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform." That word "perform" means complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You could say "will perform" it has the meaning God will finish His purpose in you. He'll finish your purpose. Oh, praise the Lord for that. And that purpose will not be abandoned. God's not going to say, "Well, I give up on them." God's not going to say, "Well, they just won't do what I say." Bible tells us God has a way through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to bring to pass out of your life what He wants you to accomplish in the days to come. That's true with your pastor. That's true with you. And we need to realize that. It is also true, my friends, that our eternal security is the guarantee by the person and work of God. So the guarantee is not on me. It's not on you. The guarantee is backed up by God Almighty. Amen and amen. We're going to get through what we're going through right now. It's not going to last forever, because this thing could destroy the church. And I don't believe God's going to let that happen. I believe God is going to work in the days to come and make it possible. We have an advantage today that we didn't have numbers of years ago. We got our sermons going out on the airway. People can still hear. In fact, up in where Glenda goes to church, they're telling people to stay home. Stay home. Watch it on the internet. But always be sure to send your offerings in. Amen. Long as we got them offerings coming in, we can pay the notes and keep the lights on and everything. But I'm telling you today, friends, praise God, don't give up, because God is going to bring Victory Baptist Church and all the other good churches out there. He's going to bring us through this for His glory. Because you see, God's purpose for Victory Baptist Church is that people will hear the gospel and people will get saved. That's the purpose of any church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. In other words, God's purpose for this church is to preach the word in order that people can hear the word. And what happens then? The Bible says, faith cometh through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we preach the word, it causes faith to rise up. And it works in two ways. First of all, it works to bring you to Christ, bring you to the place where you trust Jesus as your Savior. You trust Him to get you to heaven. You trust Him that He washes your sins away. He makes you a child of God. But not only that, my friends, faith is what helps us to live the Christian life. Faith is what causes you to come to church and read your Bible and stay faithful to God. And God is working right now to build us all up and to help us. And all I can say is hallelujah. I'm glad that God is so close to you and I. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to keep my faith in Him. I'm going to keep on reading His Word. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on coming to church. And I'm going to trust God to get us all through this situation. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? I know a lot of people are concerned. My daughter called me last night and said, "Dad, be careful." I intend to be careful. I intend to wash my hands. I intend to, stay away from people that are known sick. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to get through this. He's going to help me. And I want you to stop worrying. Stop fretting. Stop getting upset. A doctor said this on television the other day. He said, "Don't listen to all this talk about this virus for over 30 minutes a day, or it will begin to cripple you and defeat you. Listen to the Word of God. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." My friends, God is greater than this virus. God is greater than all of this. And all you need to do is trust Him every day and walk close to God. If you'll walk close to God, you'll find that comfort will come into your life, and strength will come into your life, and provision will come into your life, and you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Let me tell you something, church. God is good. God is good. So let's just, this day, why don't we do something for ourselves? Why don't we this morning take a few moments, and why don't we pray that this thing will soon pass? This thing will soon be gone, because it's going to hinder the church. So if we, God's children, will get on our knees and begin to pray, we can ask God to come and put this thing to an end. I trust that might happen. So I would like to give all of us an invitation this morning. If you feel that you know God, and you feel that God listens to you, then I'm going to ask you, I'm going to beg you this morning to come and find you a place of prayer and just get a hold of God. Get a hold of God. Would you do that? Let's all stand now. And I want you to keep your heads bowed. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to have a song. And we're going to let you come this morning if you feel led to come. I also should say, if you're here and you're not a Christian, come and I'll talk to you. And we'll show you how you can be saved, how God can bless you. If you need a church home, I couldn't recommend any other church but this church right here. I know the pastor personally, and I know he'll be a good pastor to you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, we thank you, Father, that forgiveness is something that's eternal. We thank you that forgiveness is something that, Lord, we may not deserve, but we receive it by grace through faith. I pray that anybody that needs to be saved will be saved. Let them call upon you right there where they are. They can say, God, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm undone. Father, save me and make me one of your children. Father, I pray for all of these that are Christians here today, because I know I'm just like them. And God, I can get troubled, and I can get fearful if I'm not careful. So I'm praying this morning that we all might just surrender ourselves and say, Father, I want you to bless this church, and I want you to bless America, and I want you to bless the world and bring this thing to an end. God, I pray for that. I pray for that. So, Lord, it's up to us. You said, what we ask for, that we shall receive. And, Father, I'm asking this morning in the name of Jesus that you bring this thing to an end where we can continue our life and continue to serve you in the days to come. Bless this invitation and bless all those that may come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Turn to hymn number 297. Number 297. Amen. Amen.